Project Excite Sessions, where innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship meet the brightest minds, leaders, and innovators in Colorado, our university ecosystem, and abroad. Welcome to the Project Excite Sessions. I'm your host, Eric Matisik, the Executive Director. And with me today, I have two amazing guests, our Student Innovations Fellow, Ryan Wells, and Jackie Ross, the fearless leader of Revelar, one of our hottest startups here in Colorado. Really, really excited for today's discussion. And so just for the arc of these, for those who haven't tuned in before, we really want to understand what's happening at the intersection of technology, entrepreneurship, and innovation. And our goal is to bring the best leaders, the best entrepreneurs, and the best innovators from across the state of Colorado to inspire our students, our alumni, and our community to be the best that they can be. So today's guest really exemplifies that. And really, we'd love to turn it over to Jackie. Jackie, you've been around Colorado. You've been a star in our entrepreneurial ecosystem. Jackie, to get us started, what is Revelar?
Absolutely. Well, first off, thank you all for having me here and for giving me the opportunity to share our story. So Revelar is a Spanish word that means to take flight again, and is an ode to sexual assault survivors who inspire their technology, because I've been awed by their strength of picking themselves back up time and time again. What Revelar does is we make a discreet wearable technology that clips and hides under clothing, and at the touch of a button can let your loved ones know, hey, I made it home safe. It can have a friend virtually walk you home. It can make your phone ring so you can excuse yourself from a bad date, bad meeting. But really, it's really about trusting your instincts and getting yourself out of situations proactively and not feeling stuck. Or it can have help sent to you if, God forbid, you need it. And so, Revelar has been in the market with our first product for about 8 months. And then on April 4th, we launched our second one, which is we're so excited to introduce the Revelar Instinct. It's smaller. It'll have basic wellness with step tracking. It'll vibrate and beep so you can have feedback. We're so pumped. So, really check it out because we launched on April 4th. So be one of the first.
You're a Techstars grad, not once, but twice. You've got one of the hottest companies in the city. Tell us a little bit about Jackie. Like, what's the secret behind that, behind where you've been? I know you came from Florida and now you're in Colorado. Give us some details of Jackie just so we can say, kind of really understand this awesome woman behind this company.
I was born in Miami. I'm Cuban Colombian, and at 3 months old, moved to Mexico. And after living in Mexico for 4 years, so Spanish was actually my first language. Both my co-founder and I are Latina. She was born in Bogota. I moved to Boulder and I went to Mesa Elementary. And we moved all over the world after that. Georgia, Florida, again, Geneva, Switzerland, you name it. My dad, funny enough, worked in tech before he passed away when I was a teenager. And I remember asking him, of all the places we've lived, Mexico, Switzerland, which was your favorite? And he goes, everything had its charm. Mexico was so free. Switzerland was so European. He goes, but we were the happiest as a family in Colorado. And so when I graduated from college, I was accepted into Teach for America, which was an incredible opportunity. And I put Colorado as my first choice. I wanted to go back and see what he had been talking about, and completely fell in love with Colorado. I love rock climbing. I know, not something typical for a Floridian, but I love to climb. And so I moved out here for the climbing and the lifestyle. And I'd already come up with the idea for Revelar and had started the patent process as a senior in college, and used my graduation money to pay for the patent search and start the provisional patent process. This past December, we actually were awarded our first patent, which was super exciting.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It only took 4.5 years. And here we are today, having gone through, like you said, two tech stars, having raised over $3 million. And we went from concept to nationwide retail launch in 8 months and are now a team of 23.
Congratulations. So talk a little bit about, you mentioned that you were a school teacher for Teach for America, mm-hmm. But you'd already filed your provisional patent. So you had this idea for Revelar kind of brewing around. What inspired you to stop teaching and become an entrepreneur?
Yeah. That was actually a really hard decision. I absolutely love teaching, especially kindergarten. I taught everything from 3 to 14-year-olds and was very passionate. I'm still very passionate about education. I sit on the board of my old school now and help them with different obstacles. But my students were the, so my sister was the inspiration for Revelar. She was sexually assaulted twice before the age of 17. She was what I would say was the straw that broke the camel's back. But as a teacher, I had a second grader, first grader when I first met her, who had PTSD from being sexually abused at an even younger age. I had a middle schooler who was attacked walking home from school by an eighth grader in our school. I had, there was never a lack of inspiration to keep going with Revelar. And they, I remember telling my students my idea and they just loved it. They were like, we want it. And the initial concept was jewelry, and they would draw what they wanted me to build for them. And they still follow my progress on social media. Like, they're my friends on Facebook, Snapchat. I go to their concerts. I went to one of theirs ballet recently. And I'm still very involved with my community. I think part of Teach for America is that you always stay involved and you always advocate for that community. And it's my community. I don't like it when people talk poorly of Aurora. I love Aurora. It has the best food in Colorado. They were very inspiring. Like, they wanted me to do it and they understood why I couldn't teach anymore. And I cried about it for months because you don't, teaching is not like any other job. Like, you feel incredibly attached to children. But they kept me going. You know, they understood why they needed it and, you know, they wanted me to build it. And so it was an easy decision to keep going. I had no idea what I was getting myself into though, but I needed to bootstrap. And so that's why I took the job. Somebody said, you're going to have to pay for more patent costs and prototyping costs and incorporation fees. And, so I picked the lucrative career of teaching for bootstrapping. but you have summers, right? So you get a lot of free time to do some other stuff.
So you had all this inspiration. How did you find the courage or kind of that bravery to take that first step into becoming an entrepreneur and really tackling this idea?
TechStars calls it delusional confidence. I like to think it's more naive confidence. I just like didn't know. I remember thinking to myself, I was like, we built a rocket ship and got to the moon. Like, how hard can a button be? Like, I just remember thinking like, it can't be that hard. And every step of the way, Andrea and I, my co-founder and I, just realized that we had each step got harder and harder. We're like, we're this far, you know, like we've raised this much and we built, you know, like we're this close. Like,
definitely,
let's just keep pushing through. And there's absolutely been moments where we have felt in over our heads. And that's where mentorship has been key for us. I have a mentor for every aspect of my business because I didn't have the background. I didn't go to business school. I'm not an engineer, but you can learn all that. Like, it's the age of Google. Like, people were always like, how did you figure it out? I was like, Google it, you know, like learn how to research. And I always say I'm a researcher by nature. One of my part-time jobs was doing oppositional research for political candidates while getting Revelar off the ground. So I always say I'm a little, I'm very good at finding what I need to find on the internet.
So Jackie, you know, the resources that, you know, once you made the decision, I'm quitting my job as a teacher, I'm going to go with this full time. What were the resources that you found in the community, or, you know, how did you start to put the pieces together outside of your own chutzpah just to go do this?
Absolutely. So first I checked out meetup.com and found some things that I thought sounded right. Some were hit or miss. Some were more useful than others. And then I'd heard a friend told me about Denver Startup Week, which you know all about. And I had a bunch, I don't know if you know this story, actually. I had a bunch of my friends who worked night jobs. I bought them all Revelar t-shirts and I got them fake business cards the day before. So we could look like we had a bigger team than we did. And I sent them with like, this is what you pitch and you bring me back business cards and you don't say anything else. And I paid them all $50 to like spend a whole week going to these cool events. And they all loved it, by the way. And we won the back of the napkin competition. We, at Women Who Startup, I met Jane Miller. That's a really funny story, about how we met. Essentially Lizelle, who runs Women Who Startup, didn't know me then. I sat at the very front and I thought, if anyone's ever going to listen to us, it's going to be this audience. And she said, no more questions. I was in the very front row. And as a teacher, I'd learned that little girls are less likely to keep their hand up if you say no more questions. Guys will shout out or keep their hand up. And so, and it works. Like, if you shout out or keep your hand up, you're going to get attention. And so I kept my hand up and it was super awkward. Andrea was cracking up next to me. She was like telling her friend, like, this is what I'm talking about. She's crazy. Like, they said no more questions. And the panelists could see me. And they started laughing at me. And they said, give her the mic. She needs a chance. And so I said, look, I'm a teacher. I'm trying to end rape culture using leveraging technology. And I have no contacts. I don't know anybody. And I know that it's about who you know. At the end of the day, business is about who you know. So where do I start? And they said, come talk to me. So of course, only it's a numbers game, right? Like one of them, Jane Miller, really connected. And I ended up pitching her again at the Denver Zoo, which was weird. And she then introduced me to Seth from Foundry. And I didn't know what a VC was then. So I thought he was like the gatekeeper to the investors. And him and I just hit it off. And it was kind of been a crazy story since then.
So you've been building this company. And obviously, you know, entrepreneurship comes with its ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know, what's been some of the most exciting things that you've experienced as an entrepreneur, especially in the early days? And, you know, what are some of those moments where you just didn't think it was going to work?
You mean like a week ago? No, just kidding. Winning the back of the napkin competition at Denver Startup Week was our big break. I mean, it gave us services. It gave us access to things, legal services, which we totally utilized the heck out of. Our Kickstarter campaign, we were launching our Kickstarter on a Monday, and it was the Friday before. And Seth was going to launch me on AngelList Syndicate. At this point, they'd agreed to fund us as an angel round 2 weeks later. So Andrea and I were going to stagger them so we could get Kickstarter going, and then I could focus on it. I get a call from him on a Friday afternoon, change plans. We need you ready by Monday. Are you going to be ready by Monday? And you're like, you don't say no, right? So like I focused on this, she focused on that, and we had to divide and conquer. We had to quit our part-time jobs. It was a really stressful phase. We're on like potatoes and ramen. Like there was like, I still have a hard time eating those kind of potatoes. because we were living together and we got through it, but it was probably one of the most physically, I literally collapsed at a Target. Like my little sister had to like feed me orange juice because I like was so physically exhausted. But it worked. And so it was just like one of those high moments where you're like, oh my God, like we got a Kickstarter campaign up and funded. And it was like a very, very tiny team at that point, you know, with zero funding. I had met Praful Shah right before we launched our Kickstarter campaign. And he's like, what do you need? I was like, you know, Chase had given me a business credit line of 10,000. We've already maxed it out. I need to pay it off so I can max it out the very same day on digital ads so this can be a success. And he took me to the bank that same day and cut me a $10,000 check, our first $10,000 check, and said, follow up with the paperwork as soon as you can. And that was it. He like gave me my first $10,000 and I cleared our credit card and maxed it out the same day on digital ads. And it worked off. And it was just one of those incredible moments. And then we got into Techstars and we got funded. And but we did hit a hard point, right? Like we had this awesome initial traction. But marketing, I really underestimated how hard marketing is. Even though we built this great brand, I think we could have done a better job of being intentional about our testing, about keeping a smaller, leaner budget until we had proven certain things. And there was just things I didn't know. Like I didn't even know to think about that. So, you know, two of the most painful things have been reorganizations. So realizing that people that were right for the really early stage are no longer right for the stage we're in now. That's a very emotionally hard process. I've never had to let somebody go before. I've never had to have those kind of conversations. It's not like in a classroom. In a classroom, you don't get to give up on a kid. That's not the mentality. As an entrepreneur with a limited budget and burn rate that's, you know, constantly giving you a panic attack, you have to make those tough calls. And it's hard because they're good people. But there are right people for right phases. And I've actually done a lot of research on what makes a person scalable for a startup. There are some team members who I can see going the entire way with us, and there's some who I know will be for certain phases. And they know it too, which is cool, which is some of them are really self-aware. But when we launched our product, we launched with just Brookstone and our e-com site failed. And it was down for like 2 months. It was incredibly embarrassing. It was like the ultimate rookie mistake. We had over-engineered the site and had nobody on the team who could fix it. And it was a disaster. We lost months of revenue, months of testing, months of you name it. So I've been humbled by how hard marketing is and how hard it is to do at scale with a tiny budget. And so I've worked really hard to reach out to some of the best in class who I've admired deeply for what they've done with their tight budgets and have learned a lot, but it's changed my mentality. Another hard lesson, which actually we learned throughout Target, was the difference between corporate life and a startup life. I never worked for a company until I built one. So I didn't understand organizational structure. I sure as heck did not understand corporate politics. And I felt like a bird that was constantly crashing into a window that I just couldn't see. I just like had no idea that those barriers were there in corporate life. And so that was a humbling experience to try to figure out how to navigate such a large company. And I'm so grateful for the mentors we have within Target who've tried to help us along the way. Cause like we've accidentally stepped on toes and made mistakes, and they've been really good sports throughout all of it. But yeah, there've definitely been highs and lows and plenty of mistakes along the path, like more than I can count.
So you talked about like a lot of these hurdles you had to navigate, or windows you had to break through as that bird crashing into them. Can you talk about kind of the importance of having a good team member? You're a co-founder. Andrea is awesome. What kind of talk about some of the battles maybe you guys have had around some topics, and then how having that team member or that co-founder that kind of helped you push through some of these hurdles?
Yeah. You know, it's really funny. So there's this awesome interview by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler where people, you know, they're like, what's your least favorite question? And they're like, people always ask us what we fight about. You know, they're like, but really, what do you fight about? And they're like, we don't fight. And like, it's weird to say, because Andrea and I, apart from being Latina and the same age, like we have nothing in common. Like we are polar opposites, the way we function, the way we think, the way we do things. But yet we almost rarely are not on the same page. It's actually, I think, one of our greatest gifts is like her and I rock at being aligned. It takes us like 10 seconds to knock out a problem. We're like, what do you think? What do you think? Okay, here's the compromise. Let's go. And then because the key to success and alignment within a team is like as co-founders, if you're not aligned, the rest of the team is like SOL. Like you must be aligned. So I treat Andrea like I would a spouse. Like she is the closest thing to a wife I have right now. I worry about, does she eat? Does she sleep? Does she like get all the things that she needs to be happy? Because I can't function without her. Like I'm hopeless without her. But our team also has an incredible leadership team. We've brought in our CTO was a VP of global engineering at Otterbox, Tom. He was one of our earliest hires. And his supply chain and manufacturing experience has changed the game for us. Like as a teacher, like I would not have known how to build this product. He built it and got it to market in 8 months. He is a boss. We have Laura, our COO. We have Colin, our VP of biz dev, who drove from Seattle to come and be at Techstars with us. And he was my brilliant best friend from high school who like helped me figure out the patent process. And so we have this awesome team, and communication's hard. You know, somebody once told me, John Levisay, actually from Craftsy, as a CEO, it's like being a teacher. You have to repeat yourself at least 10 times. And as a CEO of Target taught me, you have to explain it in a term so simple that a six-year-old can understand. And he didn't mean that as an offense. He means that people are busy. Your team members have different viewpoints, different perspectives, and you need to keep them aligned. And the best way of doing so is by keeping what you're relaying to them super simple and so simple that anybody could follow, and then repeating yourself. And it's really frustrating to have to repeat yourself to adults, but it's part of the job. So I just get used to it.
So Jackie, we've covered the arc of Revelar, really talking about some of the growth, some of the awesomeness, and some of the trials and tribulations. When you're thinking about other entrepreneurs just trying to get started, what do you recommend to them? Like, how do they go find the inspiration to just stop and start doing?
Of the things that I've learned throughout Revelar, I have sort of three big takeaways. One is one of my favorite pieces of advice. I got it from Bernie Strum, who is the former CEO of Priceline. She told me, bad news has to travel fast. If you want to be successful, you have to get very comfortable with sharing bad news faster than you would good news. Boards hate surprises. If something isn't going well, raise your hand immediately. The second you recognize it, and you know, I've had moments with my team where they're like, can we just wait till we prepare something? And I was like, uh-uh, I need to tell them immediately. Because if they don't know, and then they find out, it's not going to be pretty. Like you need to tell them immediately. You know, another one would be that sales is everything. brand's important, all these things matter. But at the end of the day, if you don't have numbers on the board, nobody cares how pretty your brand is, how well put together you are, what a great team you've built. Because if there's not numbers on the board, you're not going to move to the next phase. And you have to figure out what kind of numbers investors are looking for. And the game has changed. What numbers were acceptable a few years ago are not acceptable now. Because there's different tools, different resources, they have different expectations. So really understanding that. And then this was a hard one for me because I didn't have a finance background, but guard your burn rate and guard your cash like it's your literal lifeblood, because it is. And do not hire somebody unless you absolutely have to. Do not pay for things that you can do yourself. And like, you have to push your team to get really comfortable with that, because it's a very normal reaction to say, oh, if we want to increase sales, we need to make more hires. Nope, that's not the answer. If you're not seeing more sales, it's because something's wrong with your process and you need to fix it. And no hires, no bodies are going to fix that. And that's a hard one. We've had to grow and shrink and grow and shrink. And it's not, I wish I'd known the things I didn't know sooner, but you can't really control that.
So it's like an iterative process, right? Like you're constantly testing and trying, or yeah, prototyping, testing, just more at the business level. So how do you like find the, I mean, people get so kind of cemented in their ways sometimes. And how did, what was the spark for you to change, right? Like that's an awesome piece of advice that I know myself, I wouldn't think of. So who told you to do that? Was it a mentor, or how did you figure that out?
Experience. Yeah. Try talking to investors when you're too early. They're like, but your revenue isn't where we need it to be. And I was like, okay, well, clearly we need to expedite that so that it's where you need it to be. But it, you know, really looking back, there's something I wish I had done, which I just didn't think to do at that moment, was interview co-founders of other companies. I have been blown away by the intentionality of other CEOs. Like, I was straight out of college. I basically muscled my way through a lot of this. I learned everything as I was doing it. But hearing the stories of how intentional they were at how they picked their co-founder and how they started it and their strategy for how they were going to enter the market and how they were going to win and how they focus on just like just this platform and nailing that platform and moving on. And that the intentional choices that they made every step of the way, where I feel like we've learned to think that way. But in the beginning, it wasn't like that. We learned because we had to learn. And as the one of my favorite quotes is from the CEO of Airbnb, and I tell everybody this, is Brian Chesky's just so cool. I don't know him, but I will one day. And he said, every 6 months, the life and job of a startup CEO changes. You have to go from being the equivalent of a professional baseball player to 6 months later, professional ballerina to 6 months later, professional soccer player, et cetera. And it's been true. Every 6 months, my life has completely turned upside down and reconfigured. And every 6 months, what I do on a day-to-day is vastly different. What I was doing 6 months ago, I was traveling all the time. Now I have no need to travel because I have to focus on this launch. And every 6 months, my life, my routines, my schedule, who I'm talking to completely shifts. And Andre and I have to constantly look at what's on our plate and divide and conquer. But that's it's hard to keep up with that pace and to make sure that you're matching that pace. And so one of the things I learned, again, how to do the hard way, was to take better care of myself. Sleep more, take breaks, remember to exercise at least once a week, and like eat proper meals, which is a really hard thing to do when you're obsessed with what you're working on.
Well, Jackie, you and your team at Revel are an inspiration to us all. It's awesome to have you here in the Denver community. It's wonderful to have you on the University of Denver campus.
Thank you.
Really excited to have you as a guest on the Project Excite sessions today. Ryan, thank you for being our
thank you for having me, our
fearless leader with our student innovation as our student innovation fellow and leading our student advisory board. Jackie, one piece of parting advice as we step into our day. Give us one last piece of Jackie-isms that really can inspire us to build.
If you feel stuck, take a walk. When you're stuck, I had a really low moment one day and Andrea just said, go for a walk, cook yourself some dinner, you'll figure it out. But if you keep obsessing, your brain can't work through it. And she was right. Like within 10 minutes of slicing my sweet potatoes, I was like, aha. And so sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is step away for a moment and come back. Awesome. And that's okay.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Thank you very much. Visit us at projectexcite.org. And you can also visit Revelar at revelar.com, R-E-V-O-L-A-R.com. Really thankful that you're here. Thank you so much for being our guest. And this is a wrap. Have a great day.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us today, Jackie. Really excited about all the awesome things at Revelar. This will conclude our episode of the Project Excite Sessions. If you'd like to learn more about what we discussed today, please visit us at projectexcite.org or check out Revelar at revelar.com to see all the amazing things that are happening here in the entrepreneur community. I'd also like to thank our great sponsors, the Cable Center, as well as Zayo, Comcast, and Fidelity Labs for their support of Project Excite. Thank you for joining us. Remember, never stop starting up. Project Excite Sessions on the University of Denver campus is produced with our partner, the Cable Center. You can always visit upcoming episodes of Project Excite Sessions at projectexcite.org.